Thank you, Brother Jay. It's good to see each of you here this morning. You might think that looking at the clock, I'm getting a late start. I don't look at it as a late start. My sole purpose to stand before you is to bring to you a message of God the Father. A message that's pertinent to the life of the souls of the children of men. And that would be to teach his ways and of his ordinances in which we have just exercised and have seen exercise in the time that we have gathered here this morning. In season of prayer of those who are critically ill, and in the ordinance of administration. These are part of the gems of the gospel of Jesus Christ for the children of men. The gifts of love from God to his children. These are those things that we have a desire to proclaim to the nations of the world. To testify of those things that we know to be true is the power of prayer. Is the power and the gift of the administration. And so I feel as I stand before you that the time has well been taken in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'd like to speak a little bit this morning to those things that have been impressed upon my heart and my mind, perhaps of the things of the yesterdays. Days of the things of today and the things of the unborn days of tomorrow. As I was pondering upon those things, it would be the will of God that I should bring to your attention this day. And as I sat and meditated upon those things, there were some thoughts brought to my heart and to my mind that was stimulated Easter Sunday, when our brother and Apostle Jensen was speaking. And he told at the time of the Second World War, I want you to take a trip with me now. In the Second World War, he was in that area over around Rome and in that area during the Second World War. And he had the privilege, he says, to walk and to go into some of the catacombs. There where our ancient brothers and sisters had hid, and hid very much perhaps like some of us will see in the future or do today, with heartaches and fears, with a lot of trials and tribulations, where he told how they had carved within the stone and back in their little cubbyholes where they could try to raise a family. And where they would live perhaps in a type of what we would call a hippie commune. For they had found that it was necessary for them to gather together. To support one another. In prayer and in their fears and in their hopes. In the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as I pondered upon those things, it was brought to mind. A wondering, do you suppose that those people who were there striving to live and striving to stay alive, that was bucking the government and bucking those who had set their mind on destroying the children of men, do you suppose that they, as well as us today, was inflicted with the same crossroads that our brother Hausnick saw? Do you think that they were in a period of indecision? Do you think that they were living in a period of fear, of confusion, of mistrust? Do you think that they were afraid to speak to another because it might get out to the Roman guards? You know, like us today, I feel that they too was living at the same crossroads that you and I in this present day live in. That same indecision, that same confusion, the same mistrust, and the same fears to a degree that comes upon the children of men. Now, we're not living at this particular time under the hammer of the Roman power. We're not living at this particular time that if one would find that today there was prayer for one that was sick or administration or of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they'd be tearing down the doors to drag you away and feed you to the lions or to kill you in every hideous manner that they could think of in that dispensation of time. No, we're not living under that threat at this time. But we are living in a period of time of indecision for the children of men. We're living in the period of time of mistrust and of confusion. And as we look at the world, we see confusion all over, don't we? But you know, I wonder about those people just like I wonder about us today. I wonder that as they were there, and I have to ponder within my heart that as they were reaching out, and no doubt when the mothers saw them drag their sons and daughters away, no doubt when the children saw them drag their parents away to be held in a mock trial and to be destroyed, no doubt when those things came about, there was much fear, there was much heartache, there was much prayer, just like we heard this morning. Oh Lord, take hold, save my child, save my mother, save my father. Yes, just like today also the generations of time, there are those who would cry out unto God because of their love one for another. Just like today. That they would cry out to God because of the thing that has fallen upon them. But I wonder if we're like them today. Oh, to a degree we aren't, but to a degree we are. I wonder if they had sufficiently read the scriptures. I wonder if they were aware of the 17th chapter of the Revelations. That was written by John in 96 AD on the Isle of Patmos. I wonder if they were aware of that when he said, "And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." He saw him drunken with the blood of the saints. And he wondered with great admiration, what is this all about? I wonder that if in 570 AD, I wonder in that dispensation of time, if those people who were crying out and pouring their hearts out unto God, I wonder if they were aware of the fact that they were living in the dispensation of time that the scripture says it should wear out the saints of the Most High. I wonder if they realized that they were living in the dispensation of time when the light of righteousness and of the gospel of Jesus Christ would be turned out. And that there would be a period of time of that 1260 years, a period of time wherein that they would not know nor embrace the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As I read there in the 17th chapter in the 6th verse of the book of Revelation, in the 13th chapter, in the 7th verse, it says, "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." I wonder, if you were there, would you have really had the full imprint of the message of that story? That very verse, that you were living in the dispensation of time that the saints of the Most High would be wore out. Would you? Or would you still try to hold to a thread of hope, a beam of light that would perhaps look for something that would inspire your heart and your mind that surely this can't be the day. Surely this can't be the time. Surely this isn't the dispensation of time, God, that you're to wear out the saints of the Most High. No. I'm afraid that many, though they had an understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm afraid many still had gone with their eyes closed of the dispensation of time in which they lived in. I'm afraid that many didn't fully understand the prophets and the prophecy that foretold, yea, even the day that they were to live in. And I have to look at us and the little Church of Christ today, and I have to ask myself, do we fully understand the prophecies that engulfs our dispensation of time? Do we fully understand the work or the things that is to come upon us or those things that we're to overcome? Do we even this day, like our ancient brothers, cry out unto him when the answers of those things was before them written by the holy prophets and testified by those who were teaching and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, if they would have stopped and just opened up their ears to listen, do you think that they would have realized the time that they lived in? Do you think that they would have realized at the time that they were living? He said, here is the mind that hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman setteth. This woman that was destroying that power. Now here those people were living there. Here those people were living there. And you know, I wonder, did they know? Did they know? I want you to take notice. There are the names, according to history. There are the names of the seven hills of Rome in which the woman setteth upon. Just like today that we would say, well, there's Camelback, and there's Squaw Peak, and there's Mummy Mountain, and there's South Mountain. Here are the names of the seven hills of Rome, and yet they're still in existence today, and she still sets upon it. I want us to realize that all through the generations of time, when we get into the scriptures, we find that God has pre-warned his people and have told of the things that is going to come upon them. I'm reading now in the seventh chapter of Daniel. And he says here, speaking of the rise of the kings and the rise of that power that's going to set upon these seven hills, he tells them, and he shall speak great words against the Most High. He shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and seasons, and they shall be given into his hand until a time, times, and dividing of times. That they shall be given into that power. They shall be given into that for the times, times, and dividing of times. That times and that dispensation of time was a year. 360 days, what they figured. And the times was two of that. And the dividing of times was 180. And when you look at that, it comes out 1260. 1260. It comes out when they speak of the times, times, and the dividing of times. We see where those things that are brought out are there. In the prophetic year, there were 360 days, which was a time. Which was a time and a time, which was two. And the dividing of times was 180. That comes out 1260. 1260 years would they be laid in the hands of that individual. Over where I read in the book of Revelation, it says that they shall wear out the saints of the Most High for 42 months. 42 months. 30 days in a month. Guess I better put 30. Times 42 is 1260. What does that mean to you and I? I'll tell you what it means to you and I. In the course of conversation this morning, I told my class, Patricia, you young people, you older people, when I was the age of the youth, I sat in the congregation and heard mighty men, such as Brother Arthur Smith. I heard mighty men, such as my grandfather Yates. I heard mighty men such as Brother Jordan. I heard men who's not with us today bear testimony and preach under the influence of the power of God the Father that according to the scriptures the day would come that the Jews would again establish a land and again conquer Jerusalem. My grandfather Yates didn't live to see that day. But I testify unto you, his grandson, that heard him proclaim it across the pulpit, did. I lived to see a six-day war. I lived to see the fulfillment of the very words that God the Father says when he proclaims those things. They shall not come back unto him void, but they shall go forth and suit his pleasure. I testify that I heard those early brothers proclaim those things because of the edification that they have received through the inspiration of the Spirit from God on high, through the power of the beautiful scriptures given unto us to study. I bring this to your understanding that it is not done by the wisdom and the understanding of men, but when man comes to an understanding, or a woman, whoever the case may be, that they come to an understanding of the truthfulness of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's through the influence and the power and the directing force of the Holy Ghost to deal and to teach, to bring to the hearts and the minds of the children of men the truthfulness of those things, that he caused them to proclaim that over the generations of time, that he caused them to teach those things that are pertinent to the welfare of our soul. Just exactly like he caused the same brother who proclaimed the fact that they'd wear out the saints of the Most High, that power would set upon the hill. And here's to the mind that has wisdom, the seven mountains or the seven hills upon which he setteth. And there's the seven hills, the same one that proclaimed those things and said it would be in power for that 42 months, just like Daniel said it would be in power for times, time and dividing of times. Those same individuals viewed over the generations of time and saw the power of God in his holy hand set and moved in a dispensation of time that he labels in the latter days. In the latter days, not of the time that they backed off into the catacombs, but he says in the latter days. And you and I are those people of the latter days. You and I are those people that have been proclaimed over the generations of time of those who God should rise up in the last days, holding and embracing the gospel of Jesus Christ to be preached unto the nations of the earth. A people who must take responsibility. A people who we heard this brother preach the other day must look at self and cleanse themselves for the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A people that must realize that with this gospel of Christ and with these things that was returned, as we're told there in Revelation in the 14th chapter, that when they saw that angel fly from the midst of heaven having the everlasting gospel to be preached to every nation, kindred, and tongue and people, that that gospel you and I possess and hold in our hands today. And that it had to be restored by the hand of an angel, and not by the will and power of man, but the will and power of God the Father. That we would realize, just exactly like those individuals in the Book of Mormon, that first they heard a man stand upon the wall and proclaim the birth of Jesus Christ, and the day would come and the night would come, that there would be no darkness. Samuel the Lamanite told them there would be no darkness in the very day that they decided that they would slaughter the children of men upon this nation because they believed in that. And Nephi went out and prayed. He was told, don't worry, because this night shall that star arise. As the same prophet prophesied the fact that at the time of the crucifixion of Christ that there would be 3 days that this earth would be covered with darkness. And they saw that come to light. And then they began to cry and to mourn and say, oh, if we would have repented. Oh, if we would have just set our life in order. Oh, if we would have just listened to that prophet as he prophesied unto the children of men. If we would have just listened. We knew that the star came, but yet in a short few years we fell away and began to war with one another. We began to commit whoredoms and murder and to destroy the prophets that prophesied of those things which were pertinent unto the welfare of their souls. That the gospel of Jesus Christ was proclaimed by those men and prophecy was given unto the children of men for the edification of the hearts and the minds of those who would read and believe. That was the purpose of those things, that we might understand. Now, I'm going to come back to the seventh chapter of Daniel in a little while, but before I do, I want to read a few scriptures out of Isaiah. And I'm not going to read now as much as I was going to because the time is getting away, but I am going to cover part of it. And I'd like to start in the 8th verse of the 43rd chapter of Isaiah. He said, bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Now, what was he saying there? He was saying, bring forth those people who have eyes and can see the things of the world, that have ears and can hear the music and the song and the conversation one with another of the world. He's saying, bring them forth, but they don't have eyes and they don't have ears of spiritual things. They don't have eyes and they don't have ears of those things that are pertinent to the welfare of their soul. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears, and let all nations be gathered together, and let all people be assembled who are among them can declare this. And show us former things. Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say it is truth. Ye are my witness, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there is no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Okay, he was saying to those individuals that had ears and couldn't hear, and those who had eyes that couldn't see, he says, bring them forth, all those that want to prophesy of the things of the tomorrows. And he says, bring them forth, and he says, let's stand in judgment and wisdom. They couldn't do it. So he says, let them be silent and believe. Believe who? Believe the one who has the power to look in the unborn days of tomorrow and proclaim those things that shall take place. Proclaim those things that will happen. Proclaim those things to the children of men that they can look forward to with joy, especially when they see them fulfilled. Especially when they see them fulfilled. You know, old brother Jordan was alive when Israel took over Jerusalem. So was old brother Wheaton, and they were just tickled to death. But you know something? They wasn't any more tickled than I was. They wasn't any more tickled than I was. Because I heard men who believed with all their heart, who were dedicated to a cause. Even when those in the multitude would get up and say, boy, oh, James Yates or old Arthur Smith, boy, they're pretty good speakers, but man, they were sure way out today. They weren't way out today, because I stand before you as a witness that those prophecies were fulfilled. And most of us here, within the sound of my voice, of any age at all, other than the youth, is a witness as well that those prophecies were fulfilled. Because there is a Jerusalem, and under control of the house of Israel today, even the Jews. Those things were fulfilled, even as it was prophesied. You know, I'm just going to start bouncing through a couple chapters here of Isaiah. I'm going to scoot along a little bit. He says, this people is formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. He formed them. And he says, they shall show forth my praise. You know, that's really important, because so often we don't do that. So often we do just like he says in another place here, where we're going to tell the man that framed us that he didn't know what he framed. And we're going to tell the one that framed us that we're greater than he is. And we need to tell him what to do. And you know, he goes on here, and I'm going to tell it in my own words. And if you want to go back and read it, I'd say do it, because it's very important. I'm going to read from I'm reading just strips from the 42nd chapter of Isaiah into the 44th, right at this particular time. You're going to find that he tells them that there were those who went out and they cut down oak trees and they cut down cedar trees. And they went and they built to them idols. And he says, you fell down and worshiped them. And with the scrap thereof, you took down and built a fire and cooked your meat and baked your bread. And he said, how can you gather those things of the earth and think that they are your God? Here they went and they took those trees and they whittled out of those trees the images that they wanted to see and bowed down and worshiped them. And took the residue that they had and they used it just like you would a regular part of the earth. They baked their bread and they made their fires and they cooked their meat. And they did those things. And he was verifying the fact that when you do those things, it's not your God. Those are things of the earth. But it's the one who framed them. It's the one who made those things. It's those. It's the one who done those things. And he's the one. Can you gather of God? Can you gather God and bake bread? You see, he was trying to bring to the house of Israel that there is a supreme being, a supreme power, and that this life wasn't by accident, and that it was created by that supreme being and by that supreme power, and that we should look to him, and that we could not gather things of the world and lay hold on it and put it before our God or set it as God. Just like Aaron and them for the golden calf. That here they come along and they did those things, but yet here, let me read part of it. I'm going to read part of it in the 44th chapter, 19th verse. He says, and none considered in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burnt part of it in the fire, yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals thereof, I have roasted flesh and eaten it, shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to a stalk of a tree? Shall we worship a stalk of a tree? Shall I fall down to a stalk of a tree? Here they take part of the things of the creation of the world that was created by his holy hand. Even the golden calf. Where'd the minerals come from? From man?
or from God who created man? What is it that man can develop and set up out of the material things of life to take the form and the power of the living God? What is it that man can bow down and worship that has the authority and the power to save the souls of the children of men and to forgive them of their sins and to heal their sick and to unstop their ears that they can hear and cause the blind to see? What is it? What structure can be developed by the arm of the flesh and be framed by the arm of man to touch the hearts of the children of men and turn hate to love? There isn't any. For those things which are framed by hands of men are material things. But those things that are framed and set in order by God the Eternal Father and through His glorious Son is that which cannot be marred nor turned nor twisted nor put away by the arm of the flesh of any man, no matter how strong. Those are the concrete things. Those are the rocks that we build upon. Those are the things that we must stand solid upon and recognize their worth. Those are the gems. Those are the jewels. That's the jewel. That's the treasure that the parable of Christ gave when he went and sold everything that they had to buy the treasure that they found. Yes, the treasure of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The treasure of the beauties of the law of God and of his love and tender compassion. The treasure of that knowledge that gives you vision. That gives you vision of the tomorrow. I can't give you vision of tomorrow. My brother Jay can't. There's no one here can give you vision of tomorrow unless they are moved by the power of the Holy Ghost through God the Father to edify us that we might be able to proclaim those things of the unborn days tomorrow. That is the only way. Man of himself cannot do it. Oh, we can have the power given to us by God to look into yesterday and say, oh, if I had just changed my ways, if I hadn't have done that, if I hadn't have told that brother that, if I hadn't have said that to that sister, if I hadn't have done this, if I hadn't have done that, yes, our hindsight is far greater sometimes than our foresight. But sometimes through our hindsight, we learn so we can have vision of the foresight of the things of the tomorrow. That's what God has proclaimed unto the children of men. He proclaimed the things of yesterday, the things of today, and the things of tomorrow. What for? To open your eyes. To unstop the ears that you have, and to cause it the eyes that you have that are blind to see, and cause it the ears that we have that are deaf to hear. That's why he proclaimed these things unto the children of men and was very specific with those brothers that they would write and pen those things for your edification and mine, that we would understand and believe and know and see and witness the outcome of the power of God unto the children of men. I'm going to skip some of this and I'm going to go. I'd like to take you now... to a degree, I'd like to take you over on page 37 in the Book of Mormon. And I want to talk some about now. And I want to talk about some of tomorrow. There on page 37 in the Book of Mormon, talking to these people here, it says, After thy seed, after the Indian seed shall be destroyed and shall dwindle in unbelief, and also the seed of thy brethren, behold, these things shall be hid up and come forth unto the Gentiles by the gift and power of the Lamb. I want to testify again unto you that as I heard them teach of the coming forth of the Jews pertaining to Jerusalem, I testify unto you that these were hid up and that they were brought forth Gentiles. I testify unto you that I believe with all my heart and mind that the angel has flown from the heaven, holding and embracing the everlasting gospel to be taught unto the children of men. And not just one nation, but all nations of the earth. To save the souls of the children of men. And just as equally, and I bring this out, just as equally as when Christ was walking among those along the River Jordan and along the sea of Galilee, and as he went in through the cities of Jerusalem and he proclaimed those things, and he come down and he says, now other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. As he proclaimed those things, and he says, and they shall hear my voice. Today, even though there's transportation in airplanes and ships back and forth between nation to nation, if he would stand before us on this nation today, he would proclaim again the desire to reach out to the other nations and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, his work is to go to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, like he tells us, and then the end shall come. And today, being the same God with the same love for all his creation and for the children of men, today as well, he has chosen a people. He has established a church. The angel did fly. He has established again the gospel of Jerusalem message to be proclaimed unto the nations of the earth, to set down with power the false teachings of they who sit upon the seven hills of Rome, and to stand for righteousness' sake, to be taught unto the children of men, not one nation, but all nations, to proclaim the truthfulness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in them shall be written, my gospel saith the Lamb, and my rock and my salvation. And blessed are they who seek to bring forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. Do you believe it? I do. I believe it. I believe that they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost, because I would have to testify unto you, I have seen it, and I do witness that he has come upon the children of men to inspire, to direct, to bless, and to lead, and to edify their hearts and their minds to his holy will. And if they endure to the end, they shall be lifted up at the last day and shall be saved in the everlasting kingdom of the Lamb. Oh, whosoever shall publish peace, yea, tidings of great joy, how beautiful upon the mountains shall they be. And you know that's what we have to publish. We have to publish that peace. We have to publish that great peace that we know to be. I want you to listen again. And I said I'm coming back to it. And I am. I'm going to read some more. Here in the... I'm going to read some more in the 7th chapter of Daniel. And I'm going to read it again. He said, and he speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change the times and the laws, and they shall be given in his hand until a time, times, and a dividing of times. Now let's go to the 26th verse. But the judgment shall set. Now we're going to talk about the things in the future. Now we're going to talk about the things of you and I that are living in that dispensation of time when God shall set in judgment, to set things in order. And the judgment shall set, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. I would like to bring to our attention this day and stand as a witness and bear record and have it written across the nations of the earth that I, Hubert Yates, proclaim that this scripture shall come true. And no longer does the children of men need to worry and sit in the catacombs, because we serve a risen Savior, and we serve a God of power and of might. We serve a God who through the scriptures and through the holy prophets have proclaimed that this gospel shall be victorious across the nations of the earth, and there shall be a people who will carry it, and there shall be a people that will proclaim it through the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost unto those nations. And it shall be turned over to those who are the saints most high, those who have shod their feet with peace, those who will go forth with the gift and power of that beautiful gift called charity to reach out into the nations of the earth, to proclaim with power and authority, yet with meekness and humility, the story of the resurrection and the life eternal. That story, that power, that promise that is laid in your lap and mine. Because yea, as you hear my voice, you live in the dispensation of time of the moving of the power of God to begin to develop, to reach out into the nations of the world. We live in that period of time. We live in the period of time that still small voice says, study, seek, understand, know my will, speak up, testify. Let them know that you're of me. We're living in the period of time when he said, I shall set with power from on high, even from the heavenly gifts, and I also shall be in their midst to send forth this gospel unto the nations of the world. Yes, the kingdom and dominion and the greatness and the kingdom of the whole heaven shall be given unto the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is everlasting kingdom, and dominion shall serve and obey him. Uh-oh. That dominion shall serve and obey him. Now the responsibility to a degree begins to lay into our lap that dominion that has established the rock of salvation, that dominion would serve and obey him. You know, that's important that dominion will serve and obey him, because if they don't serve and obey him, they can't really properly work for him. Because you know, whether we like it or not, he's paying our wages. Did you know that? You try to buy and sell. Now I'm going to look at it in the soul aspect. Try and buy and sell a soul. Try to sell the gospel of Jesus Christ to an individual and see to it if we don't need the one that's paying our wages. Why, we can try to buy and sell. We can tell them to try this milk and honey. We can tell them all kinds of things we want to, and it's for naught unless the Spirit of God is with us. Because we of ourselves can do nothing. We couldn't even save our own soul. God the Father sent his only begotten Son to save me, to save you. We couldn't even save ourselves. How can we save another? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the Christ, the Savior. He's the one that reaches out to the hearts of the children of men. He's the power that uplifts them. He's the power that directs the hearts and the mind to center their eyes and vision on the glory of God the Father. And none other. I'm going to read a little bit more about that book, and I'm going to read on, I'm going to read on page 149 in the Book of Mormon. I'm going to read a couple verses, however, over on page 148 while you're there. I wanted to bring more of this out, but I'm going to bring it out now. Now, I'm going to start in the 117th verse. And when that day shall come, they shall be visited with the Lord of hosts and thunder and earthquakes and of great noise and with storm and with tempest and with flame and devouring of... come against her. And who is that Zion? Is that the kingdom of his saints? You bet.
And all those nations that shall fight against Zion and distress her shall be as a dream and a night vision. Yea, it shall be unto them even as unto a hungry man that which dreameth, and beholdeth he eateth, and he waketh, and his soul is empty. Yeah, those who shall rise against the power of God in these last days, those who shall rise against the power of God in these last days, shall find their soul is empty, and they will find that God shall set his hand for his people. That God shall set his hand. And they'll find that you and I don't have to go by ourselves. I don't have to come along and say, come with me, Brother Jay. You and I are going to down do some work now. If just Brother Jay and Hubert goes, we won't get anything done. But if Brother Jay and Hubert go with the Spirit of God, we have the power at our disposal, yea, to very even move mountains and cause them to go into the sea. We have the power to rebuke the adversary and cause him to flee. We have that power when we walk not of ourselves, but when we walk in righteousness with the Spirit of God. I'm going to skip some of this, but I want you to read a real important verse, and that's 131 on page 149. And he's speaking of this book that I'm holding before you, that I proclaim unto you again, that to me that's a testimony of the things in which he caused to be written to be true. But I want you to listen to this. This is really important. And the day cometh that the words of the book which were sealed shall be read upon the housetops, and they shall be read by the power of Christ. And I believe it. I believe that the day shall come that there shall go those forth who have dedicated their lives and was willing to sacrifice for the word and the gospel of Jesus Christ shall smite the earth with such a power that it shall tremble before them. And this word and the gospel shall be proclaimed even from the housetop, yea, by the power of Christ. Do you believe it? Did you believe that they would wear out the saints of the Most High? Did you believe that there would be a 1260 years of darkness and an angel again would fly from the midst of heaven having the everlasting gospel to be preached to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people? Did you believe that he would restore by the hand of an angel those things which are pertinent to the welfare of the souls of the children of men? Do you believe that he has called the people to work? Do you believe that this glorious gospel, like a stone that is cut out of the mountain without hands, shall reach out and destroy and set down the nations of the earth? Do you believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ shall be proclaimed through the power of Christ from the top of the mountains and the houses and those saved by those who believe? And in the days of these kings, I'm in the second chapter of Daniel, and in the days of these kings shall a God of heaven, start at the 44th verse, shall a God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. It wasn't going to be wore out again by those who set upon the seven hills of Rome. That shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break to pieces and consume all these kingdoms and shall stand forever. It shall be proclaimed from the housetops by the hot power of Christ. And it shall stand forever. For inasmuch as thou sawest that stone which was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it shall break in pieces the iron and the brass and the clay and the silver and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. Yes, the interpretation thereof is sure that that gospel and that power and that book and that restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ shall through and by the power of Christ be proclaimed from the mountaintops and from the top of the houses and proclaimed with force and power across the nations of the earth. This is the gospel. This is the gospel that was put in the hands of Karen, of me, of Brother Jay, of Margie, of Jim, Mark. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ that will be proclaimed by the power of Christ from the top of the very houses by those who are the saints who shall inherit the kingdom, who shall be that stone that is cut out of the mountains, not by the hand and the will of men, but cut out of the mountains by the will and power of God, that shall go forth and subdue all the nations. And just like the yesterdays when he says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. If you listen quietly now, here, other sheep I have which this fold must bring. That's our work. Other sheep I have which this fold must bring, and they must hear my voice, that there will be one fold and one shepherd. That's the work that is ours. Our work is to be those who shall stand on the housetop with the power of Christ and proclaim those things. Our work is the work of a people that we heard said that looks in our life and takes charge of self and puts self in order. And you know, when we do those things, you want me to tell you something? And you just listen. I told you this day. Because if something happens and I'm not here, like my grandfather Yates,
my wife in the hospital, and she gave me 3 hours to live. And then she'd be on this side of the bleeding won't stop.
We had a prayer for her. We had a season of prayer for her already, brother.
Would you like a couple of elders to go with you? Brother Housenick and Jim, would you go along with him? A couple of elders.
I'm sorry,
Father.
That's all right.
Fears, just like we witnessed, it comes to the hearts of the children of men. Fears that it's impossible to overcome without Christ. Fears are impossible to overcome without Christ. And you know, my lovely brothers and sisters, that peace, those things that come through the gift and power of our Father in heaven to comfort and to embrace us, to bless us. Yet I come to the same thing that I would have to tell you before, and I testify into it, that you and I have to allow God's will to be done in our life, just like he has to allow God's will to be done in his life and in the life of his parents. There's things that have been established from the beginning. They're the law of God. There's things that have been established from the very beginning to edify you and I. That the fears and that the indecision and that the mistrust and that these things and the confusion will not be. And you know, I would have to testify unto you this morning that the day that we as a people fully give our all our heart and mind to the work of the gospel of Christ and set our mind upon those things fully, I want you to know when that day comes that God's spirit is not the spirit of fear. It's of a sound mind. And I want you to know that when that time comes, that the fears and the indecisions, that the problems, the confusions, the mistrust, those things shall be set aside because our eyes will be single to His glory. And our work will be single to the glory of the work of God the Father. I'd like to read on page 108. And I'm going to start, I'm going to start at the 41st verse. Oh, the greatness and the justice of our God, for He executeth all His words, and they have gone forth out of His mouth, and His law must be fulfilled. But behold, the righteous, the saints of the Holy One of Israel, they who have believed in the Holy One of Israel, they who have endured the crosses of the world and despise and shame of it, they shall inherit the kingdom of God which was prepared for them from the foundation of the world, and their joy shall be full forever. Oh, the greatness of the mercy of our God, the Holy One of Israel, for He hath delivered His saints from the awful monster, the devil, and death and hell, and that lake of fire and brimstone, which is the endless torment. Oh, how great the holiness of our God, for He knoweth all things, and there is not anything save He knows. And He cometh into the world that He may save all men if they will hearken unto His voice. He come into the world that He may save all men if they will hearken unto His voice. You know, it's important today that we realize that we're in the position that we must hearken unto His voice. We realize that we're in the position that by the will of God, to an extent, that He uses frailties of men, we are His voice. And we're to be His voice across the nations of the earth. That we're the voice that's to be proclaimed from on top of that house by the power of Christ. That's your voice and mine. And so we realize that there was proclaimed in the scriptures of the days of those our ancient brothers and sisters in the catacombs, there was proclaimed today of the things that are going to happen in our dispensation of time. And there have been proclaimed those things that are going to wind up by the gift and power of God the Father. And not by the will and power of men, not by the will and power of He who once had control, but by the will and the power of God and of a saintly people that has dedicated their life to the cause of righteousness. Well, I'd have to tell you, we're them. What are we going to do? What gold has we set in our life? Were we like gold that he was speaking of in Isaiah, that out of formed from these things of the world we have formed things that we're going to worship over God? And yet the fragments we use for baking our bread and to do these different things? Or have we set aside the things of the world? Have we really recognized that those are things of naught? And have we really set our goal upon the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have we set that first in our life? Have we set aside our stiff-neckedness, our pride, our jealousies? Have we set aside to the degree that God can work with us? Or are we like those that have ears and can't hear, and have eyes that can't see? Or are we going to allow him to give us the vision? Are we going to allow him to give us the ears to hear? Because we're told we know not the voice of a stranger if we're following him, which means our ears are tuned in on the frequency of Jesus Christ. That's what it means. It means our ears are tuned in on the frequency of Jesus Christ. Let us look to the promises of God and know that they are sure. Let's look to the promises of God and the prophecies and know that in this dispensation of time and in the tomorrow, that none of them shall come back unto him void. But let us lift up our heads and let us be of good cheer. And let us keep in mind that God shall support a people that supports their God. God shall support a people and hold them up and embrace them and direct them. If they will look to him and walk with him, he will support them and direct their footsteps, that it will be towards them the way that they should go. And so we don't have to come here, though we read and we hear read at our conference, 2,000 and some people, we don't have to come with our heads bowed. Only way we need to come is with our shirts rolled up, ready to go to work. And the day that the Church of Christ comes, with their shirt sleeves rolled up and their coats taken off, ready to go to work for the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's the day. That's the day that the numbers of the body of Christ will begin to grow. The day that we don't try to cook with things that we have established as first in our life, but we established first God.